myself, Max McGillivray of Beanstalk. Another pleasure to be with Global Women Fresh. And this time we're going off in a slightly funky and different direction because we've got some amazing guests off. Firstly, say hello to Linda from Global Women Fresh.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for being here. It will be funny. Don't worry.
And Linda, tell everyone where you are today, because I don't think you're in Angleterre like what I
no,
am.
No, I'm in Florence because, you know, I live and work in Florence. So, yes, I know Florence is a beautiful city and I'm lucky to be here. But actually, after more than one year of pandemic, I would also like to, you know, to escape a little bit. But anyway, we have to respect the rules and we will wait for better times. We have to be positive.
Yeah, and between the two of us, we will be positive and there will be better times. So the broadcast today, we have titled up, or Linda and her team have titled up, Global Women, Fresh Coffee and Tea Conversation, Diversity and Inclusion Within Agri-Food and Tech. And for those listening on Facebook, on YouTube, on the podcast, on LinkedIn, we want to give you a bit of an understanding about Global Women Fresh and also to promote two big things with Global Women Fresh, to become a sponsor of them and also the upcoming awards, which Linda's just going to go and do a little bit of a deep dive on. So let's just give a bit of background to Global Women Fresh. And I'm going to slightly change it, Linda, if that's okay, because I was a bit horrified. Well, no, I wasn't a bit horrified by just looking at the pre-broadcast notes. So my standard opening for Global Women Fresh is that your mission is to change the status quo and leverage the talent of women in produce to close the industry's gender divide by inspiring, connecting and empowering women around the world. But then I've read the notes and I'm just going to read it out, Linda, if that's okay. Your mission is to inspire, connect and empower. We know this. Over the past year, the economic and political conditions for women have worsened globally, and not by a little. The World Economic Forum's annual report says the pandemic has set women's equality back by a generation. Good grief. The timeline to equality now stands at 135.6 years. Good grief. At this rate, women will achieve equality in 2156. So not for our daughters, not for our granddaughters, not for our great-granddaughters, but for our great-great-great-granddaughters. Linda, views on that, please?
Yeah, I mean, isn't this terrific? I mean, Max, so I mean, Global Women Fresh is really, we want to change the status quo now. We don't want to wait 135 years. So, of course, we are even more committed to inspire, connect and empower women in the fresh produce business, worldwide speaking. But to do this, of course, we need the help. We need the help of companies that are committed in pushing, in leveraging the women in their companies and in the society. So we are here also to mention that we need your help. So please go to our website, www.globalwomenfresh.com. Read all the information about our no-profit organization. We exist since 2019. And so far we have made a lot of very interesting cooperation with important people and organization. I can mention one for all, which is the cooperation with United Nations in their She Trades Department. She Trades Department is the organization within United Nations that is providing support to Africa women in the fresh produce business. So this year, in the 2021, it was our second year of cooperation where we provided to United Nations and She Trades Department some webinars on very different topics, going from global supply chain to marketing to global strategy, food safety, and many more. Which are very important tools for these African and specifically Kenyan women, entrepreneur women, in order to be able to navigate in these very uncertain times due to the pandemic. So this is really something that we do with pleasure and with passion. And we also, as Max said some minutes ago, this year is our first year of our two awards. So we decided to launch the Woman of Impact Award and the Empower Her Company Award. Of course, What do we mean? The Woman of Impact Award is a woman that leads with example, leads with purpose, and she inspires other people to do more and to be more. So this is a woman that is recognized for her capabilities to inspire other people to improve even more through their path. The Empower Her Company Award wants to recognize that company that during the last year was very committed in pushing in empower women in leadership roles within the company itself. So you can still provide your candidates, you can still submit your nominations. So go again to our website and be part of these awards, because it's very important to make the people to be aware of what is happening in the world of the fresh produce as far as the women.
Fantastic. Linda, well done. And I can see that I see other women group, ladies group, especially within the likes of Pure Agriculture, that have got significant industry sponsorship from large, the likes of ag chem companies. So I know that it works for Global Women Fresh because it's worked for other organizations, not dissimilar to you, that are, say, 10 years older than, mm-hmm. than you. But to me, I believe that you're more dynamic, that you're serving more of a process, and you're actually creating the conversation and not just being part of the conversation. So we would ask all companies who are watching this to contact Linda and her colleagues at Global Women Fresh to get involved. And also look at the awards. Who within your business could be recognized within the Global Women Fresh award system? Because what a great thing to pass on within your company and to highlight on an ongoing basis. So Linda, Well done. We'll mention it at the end again, and have a look at the Global Women website. It's fantastic. Just dial up Global Women Fresh online. So Linda, shall we get into this? Shall we get into our topic today, being diversity and inclusion within agri-food and tech? Is that okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we are so happy to have the following speakers with us. So Max, I'll leave it to you, the introduction.
Everyone, can everyone come in? So look at these amazing people, and we are across the world. We're California, we're Italy, we're Spain. So what we're going to do, everyone, is we're just going to get our experts to give a little bit of a background on themselves. I'm then going to do a deep dive interview with them each for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes apiece. And then we're going to go to a Q&A with everyone on this subject of diversity and inclusion within agri-food and tech. So let's start with Vianney. Vianney, can you just give us a bit of a background on yourself, please, and who you represent?
Hi, Max. Hi, everybody. Thanks
Antonio, no, not you. We already had this conversation. You're coming last because you're too handsome. Vianney.
Okay, I'm ready.
Go. Sorry, Antonio.
That's all right. We'll let him in later. I'm Bonnie Estes. I'm with the Produce Marketing Association, and I'm located in California. And PMA is a global organization supporting the produce industry all the way from seed through retailer and consumer. And I'm the Vice President of Technology, so I work in making our members aware of what technology there is that they can use, and also making the technology industry aware of what the needs are of the produce industry. I've been with PMA for 2 years, and prior to that, I've worked for a number of startups and small companies in commercializing technology in ag, and also some of the large multinational companies in developing and commercializing ag tech products.
Fantastic. Fiona, thank you. Beatrice, over to yourself. Who are you and who do you represent, please?
Hello, everyone. This is Beatriz Jacoste from Valencia, Spain. I am the director of KM0 Hub. What we do here is study the challenges of the food system and support the people that are putting forward solutions for them. So very glad to be here with you. I've been traveling around the world for many years, meeting the people disrupting the food system in a positive way. So happy to share with you all of those insights of those amazing people solving worldwide problems.
Fantastic. Antonio, over to your good self, please, sir.
Now it's me. Okay. Hi, I'm Antonio Iannone. I live in Como, just on the Swiss border, between halfway between Milan and Lugano. And I assist food and food tech companies and startups in fundraising, merchant acquisitions, and even digital marketing. I collaborate even with some food magazine, always writing about the food tech and food innovation. And of course, I even organize a podcast and a webinar and so on, Clubhouse Room. Of course, even with a strong, strong commitment on gender equality. So for this reason, Linda invited me, and I thank you her again.
Fantastic. Antonio's a rock star. Bionni's a rock star. Beatrice is a rock star. Linda, we better have a bit of your background as well, please.
Yes, of course. Let me tell you first that the reason why I wanted Antonio to be here with us is because he recently had a Clubhouse event with all women. Women about food tech. So now, after, we want him to tell us what emerged from this Clubhouse, also because I don't have Clubhouse because I am Android, so I'm very curious.
Yes, Max, I was 1 versus 16. Oh. One man with 16 women. So, I had some interesting topics that arise that night that I will be glad to share tonight.
Fantastic. Well done. So the interview order we're going to do, so we're going to go with Vioni first, and then Beatrice, and then Antonio. But Linda, you're not escaping our clutches. We want to, can you just introduce yourself and the company that you work for over and above Global Women Fresh, please?
Of course. As far as I am concerned, I have been working with an international freight forwarder here with the headquarters here in Italy since many years. And I am the corporate director of our fresh fruit vertical market. So almost 10 years ago, I created from scratch this new business unit within our company, which is now composed of a team of 15 people, more or less, worldwide. And we are focused on the air and ocean shipments of fresh fruit in the world. Further to this, and thanks to this, I am one of the co-founder of the Italian Women Association for the Fresh Produce, and Europe President for Global Women Fresh. So this is the reason why I'm so committed with the fresh produce business, and so committed with the gender equality and to close the gender gap, to change the status quo. I live in Italy, where we see some improvements, but many more are required. So we have to fight and to be really on this path. So thanks again, Max, for being here.
Linda, thank you. Could everyone turn off their videos apart from Vioni, please? So Vioni, if it's okay, what I do find with experts, if like yourself, is that you're very good at, well, you're experts, but sometimes you're always a little bit modest in describing your background. And we have found that on our podcast, people like to have a bit better understanding. So if it's okay, I'm just going to give a bit of a background to yourself, over and above what you stated. So you're driven by a passion for agriculture and sustainability. You work with companies to navigate, develop, and commercialize innovation. You've had leadership roles at prominent companies, including DuPont, Monsanto, Syngenta, along with startups and venture funds, to identify revolutionary science and bring products to market. You have built a number of agricultural and bio-industrial startups with successful exits. You're serving on company, advisory, industry, and government boards, and you're a known industry leader with frequent publications and speaking engagements. You're an executive who gets things done with a vision to commercialize new technologies, creating revolutionary products in food and ag that are good for people and the planet. In 2017, you were the recipient of the Rosalind Franklin Award for Leadership in Biotechnology, and you're the creator and host of PMA Takes on Tech podcast, a podcast focused on the problems of the produce industry and solutions. Wow. What's next after that?
Well, the one thing that I did want to bring up about the podcast is that I've been focusing on other regions of the world the last couple of podcasts. And so the last one that dropped yesterday was in Singapore. And so overnight, when the people in Singapore were listening to the podcast, we reached 100,000 downloads.
Wow.
So that's a really exciting milestone on a podcast that we started in June. I've done 21 episodes, and we started in June just as a COVID thing of mostly me wanting to talk to people, you know, having an excuse to talk to people since I couldn't travel. And so that's been a really wonderful way to go to different regions. We've done South Africa, Brazil, Singapore, I'm doing Israel right now, Australia, and just looking at what is happening in ag tech in all these different regions and how those ecosystems form. So yeah, it's a really exciting time.
Fantastic. And if you need some help with Asia, we've got some amazing contacts in India, via Linda. So we can put you in contact with them, with some amazing speakers that way as well. So diversity and inclusion within agri-food and tech. I was on a conference the other day. I don't know if you've come across it, a global group called Forward Fooding. And so they look to find investors or promote companies to be invested in. And they're very good on their reporting, to the point of actually giving the breakdown of who is presenting applications for funding. And was it no surprise that the number of women, ladies who were looking to actually apply for funding for ag tech was single digit? It was below 2%. Do you think it's we're on a bit of a, as we say in England, a bit of a sticky wicket here, trying to get create this diversity and inclusion, or if we've got to keep going for it to create that success?
Yeah, I think it's I think it's two things. The women that are applying are smaller numbers, but it's also, you know, the women that apply don't get funding because of the institutional bias. And I was looking at some numbers on kind of what's happened this past year. And this isn't ag specifically, but it's all startups in the US. And so there was a substantial drop in VC funding to women-led startups. In 2019, it was 2.8% of the companies funded were women led. So, you know, that was an all-time high, like that's yay. But then it went down to 2.3% in 2020. And the reason that is thought for this is because an awful lot of people, especially during COVID, are just relying on their networks. And so only 12% of VCs making decisions are women. And so most of the people that are making decisions on who to fund are men, and they go into their networks that they know. So I think, you know, there is an institutional bias against, you know, funding women because the people making the decisions don't know them.
Wow. So that's thank you for being so candid on the basis that if we can have this type of conversation to drive behavioral change with those funders and hopefully get more women involved in that funding element. There's a contact of mine in the UK that was approached by a headhunter to become a chairperson of a UK fund. And she found she didn't get the role. And she found out through various means that they decided that they needed a man within their organization. And if you looked at that particular investment house, they're all men. And we've got the likes of one of our biggest pension funds in the UK, Legal & General. They've stated that all the largest 100 companies that they're investing in the UK, if they don't have a diversified board by the end of 2022, they're going to withdraw funding from those companies. So crikey, those companies are now getting busy finding the best women out there to join those companies. It'd be interesting to see whether the same thing happens with funds. And it's so difficult, isn't it, for ladies on that basis, because they've got to be even better to be able to get that funding. That must be very frustrating for them.
Yeah, I think it's really hard. And I think it's getting better. And certainly some people I know in California, I have a friend of mine, a woman that I've mentored, that she was going after funding when she was 8 months pregnant. And so I'm a earlier generation, and I just thought, how amazing is that, you know, that you're walking into these VCs and it's like, I'm a woman and I'm pregnant, you know, and give me money. And she got funded, and I mean, it's a great story. And I think that it is getting somewhat better, but as you mentioned in the beginning, it's so slow, you know, it's so slow how fast or you know, how long it's taking for this to change. And I think you mentioned boards as well. I mean, in California in 2018, we passed a law that every public board by last year had to have at least one woman on it. But that's public boards. The private boards are much, you know, of these startups and these smaller companies are much worse. Like they, in 2020, 49% of private companies had zero women on the board. And that was an improvement from 60% in 2019. So we've got these rules of public boards, but now we've got, you know, these startups and these companies that have had, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars invested in them. And there's no women on those boards making any of those decisions. So that's another place, you know, both we need to be paying attention to it in startups and funding. We need to be paying attention to it in corporations. I mean, 1 in 4 women in 2020 have in the US have toyed with the decision of leaving the corporate workforce because they just can't handle all the pressures that are put on them during COVID of taking care of their children. Yep. And so really starting to look at how do we develop a workplace that's inclusive and that supports all employees. I mean, there's some men taking care of children or men taking care of elders, but how do we be more inclusive and allow people to have their lives and take care of their lives and really contribute in the workforce? And I think we have the opportunity to start building, you know, coming back from COVID and coming back into the workplace. How do we build for that? How do we make sure people are taken care of and can do their jobs and run their lives?
Yeah, well done. Let's go for the new norm, the new normal. That if we can create that change, especially with those examples that you've given. And do you think with this new normal that sustainability and innovation and the diversity that we all want within agri-food and tech, are you positive that we will see that positive change?
Yeah, I'm optimistic about, you know, I'm just an optimist. That's who I am. And but it's taken a long time, you know? I mean, it's just taken a long time. So I am positive and just what I see around me here, you know, people are asking the questions like how do we want to work together? And how do we want to move forward and how do we take care of people? And I think on the sustainability side, you know, there was a little bit of pause, I think, thinking about sustainability in the beginning of COVID when we just wanted to stay alive. And but I think it's roaring back, you know, sustainability and climate change. How do we want to build our companies to make sure that we're taking care of people and taking care of the planet? So I do see a lot more focus. And I think in the US specifically with the administration change, yay. I think, you know, we're really starting to talk more about climate change and making sure that companies are paying attention and have practices that that are climate positive.
Fantastic. Beatrice, just come on in. And final question, Vivani. Do you think the funds understand this sector? Because we're picking up that, like the last big recession, a number of these funds raced into agribusiness, agri-food, because it was a safe haven. And we're seeing the same again from a UK and an international perspective. But a number of these funds haven't been involved in the sector before, and they seem a bit like sheep. They're just all running in the same place. Do they understand the sector? Do they understand ag tech?
Yeah, I think a lot, you know, we have a lot of very sector specific funds and they've been investing, you know, in the sector for decades. And so they certainly understand the sector. I think some of the other larger institutional funds, you know, with the disruption in supply chains kind of got everybody's attention. So there's both, you know, how do we do things around carbon and climate forward and sustainability and supply chain. And so I think there are people rushing in. And I think what we have to always train people is, you know, if you're dealing with biology or you're dealing with growing or growing seasons, things take longer than producing a chip. So a lot of it is just making sure that people know that it takes a little while to get things going, but it's such an important sector to humanity.
I'm smiling because I did a broadcast over the weekend with an investment basis with a great contact in South Africa whose skill set is avocados. And how long does it take from planting an avocado to getting a crop? Anywhere between 3 and 5 years. But currently, because of the demand for avocados, if you put your order in, you don't get your avocado plant for 4 years. And so these funds that think that they can get into something and exit positively 4 or 5 years down the line. Oh no! Within traditional ag food, it's a long term investment. Might be slightly different within ag tech. And all credit to the PMA to have someone like yourself. I'm going to say this quietly. There's none of our groups in the UK have an individual like you majoring on this subject. So again, all credit to the PMA. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
Beatrice, hello. Vianney, if you could just turn off your video. So, Beatrice, if it's okay, I'm just going to do as we did previously, because I want to give everyone, especially on our podcast, a really good understanding of yourself. As you said in our intro, you're director of KM0 Food Innovation Hub, and you've been working in international relations when you discovered the field of gastro diplomacy and started exploring the power of food as a tool for fostering development. You developed a food-based learning methodology to enhance creativity and entrepreneurial skills of children. Just brilliant. You embarked on a journey around the world to explore future challenges and opportunities in the food system with the Future Food Institute. You've conducted design thinking projects for several food companies, and currently you're working in innovation and transformation processes that make people, organizations, and companies future-proof. What was the bug for you and food? You could have gone off into politics. You could have gone off and run a multinational. What was the bug for you to get involved with food?
Well, I think it's the most impactful and beautiful sector in the world. So that was the reason. It affects in the end our health, sustainability, our economy, our culture. We are what we eat, also from an identity standpoint. So I had no doubts, actually. So when I discovered that I could influence and help countries dialogue and get better, gain more investment and be future proof, then I knew it was food what I had to do.
And are you a lone voice? Or are there a number of people like you, all working together, all collaborating, all singing in unison? Are you by yourself, or are there others of you out there?
No, actually, luckily, I have a core team of 10 people here in Valencia supporting our mission. But what's even more interesting is that we have a KM0 squad. So it's a group of people with a shared mission from around the world. And those are some of the leaders and main disruptors around the globe. So the person who first developed a plant-based hamburger, for example, the person who was working with Obama in the strategy of the White House against obesity. So these types of really clever minds that are thinking across the whole value chain of food, how do we change this into a more positive and impactful system?
I think what's fascinating with the likes of yourself, the likes of Linda, the likes of Vianney, I've interviewed so many other ladies. I've interviewed a lady who's heading up the UN and FAO 2021 year of fruit and veg, and I've asked the same question with you all. Why didn't you go off and do something else? And the fact that you all want to do good, I think it's fascinating. We have a number of graduates and students that look to watch these broadcasts on a UK and international basis. And what we're finding, especially as we all get through this pandemic situation, is that they really, really do care about the environment, about sustainability, about carbon, about doing good. And they don't want to chase the buck. They actually want to have a role and work for a company. Can you imagine working for Beatrice? God, that would be just amazing. Rather than working for, I don't know, an accountancy firm or a solicitors or something, that you could actually work for a business like yourself or Vianney with a PMA and actually do good in the world. But I've got to ask, is this just a flash in the pan, or is this going? Are you here for the long term? Is this movement? Let's call it a movement. Is this movement here for the long term?
Yes, and we are here to transform that inspiration into action, because we don't only want to understand what are those future challenges and we map them out. We have an annual publication, we have an annual summit and everything, but that's just inspiration. We want to transform that inspiration into action, and that's why we are actually funding these startups. So before you mentioned these startups or entrepreneurs really struggle to get their funding in general as a person with an idea or a business proposal. But if you're a woman, you have even more barriers. So we are really trying to map out. We're doing creative things to solve those global issues, because we are in a really difficult situation, right? If you know well the challenges that the food system is facing. So we really have to scout and map out those people that are putting forward those solutions. So what do we do when we find one of these very impactful solutions? Well, we fund it ourselves. So we have a couple of food industries behind KM0 that are investing directly in those solutions. We also promote open innovation. So we help big corporations incorporate these solutions or technologies into their processes. And we also give them a lot of visibility through this summit and so on. And we give them the support. As I told you, we have a squad of people from around the world, more than 100 people that are in our extended team, and they can support them in the best way possible. There's no way an accelerator can have all the skills, all the knowledge throughout the whole value chain, because we know it's a very long one, right? From agriculture, distribution, retail, consumption. We have so many specificities. We need those external experts that can really support and elevate those projects to make them really viable.
Fantastic. And Vianney said in her little interview that there are these barriers for women entrepreneurs because the funds might be looking to not go that particular direction. The barriers that you see for women in agri-food and tech, do you think they're too high, or can we break through them?
There is a real glass ceiling, and we see it in the numbers. There's evidence that this barriers exist. But I believe that both corporations and individuals have to take action. So corporations, they have to really commit to change and take intention in what they're doing. Because of habit, you might turn up doing, as Vianney said, whatever we have been doing for years or whatever is closest to us. As she mentioned, most investors are men, so they don't empathize with many of the projects. And as you said, Max, many women put forward solutions that are with positive impact. So also the context and the intention of these solutions are very important to us as society. So we really have to pay attention to them. But what I really do believe is that us as women, as individuals, we have to take several decisions to make ourselves show up and stand up in this context, right? So we cannot only think that the world is unfair, companies are unfair, we really have to change our own mindsets and attitudes. And within this, there are several things that have helped me be where I am at the moment. And I think it could be helpful for others to think and take ownership of their own destiny, right? So, yeah. For example, I think all women should equip themselves with the best knowledge. They should prepare themselves to be outstanding. And then they have to perform. They have to give results. And when those results are there, and when companies see that they are outstanding with what they're bringing to the company, then women have to have the confidence to ask whatever they want to ask. Yep. And of course, and a very important thing, we have to be also humble and look for support in our families, in our environment. We don't have to be superwomen. So we have to fight for ourselves, but also accept support from others.
Fantastic. And Antonio, just come on in as we finish a little chat with Beatrice. And Beatrice, as Vianney gave that fantastic example that one of her contacts went in to see a fund 8 months pregnant and said, "This is me, I'm pregnant," and knocked it out of the park. So if you've got that positive attitude and you've got the correct idea, and we all know that as a whole, that in business, ladies are far more proficient than men. And that's just my view, because it's been shown to me time and time again. So everyone, have a look at KM0 and definitely KM0 Squad. So it's KM0hub.com/squad to have a look at. Richard, thank you very much. If you could just turn off your video, that'd be super. Antonio, what do you think to the ladies? They're just amazing, weren't they? How do we keep up with that?
I don't know, man. But anyway, the discussion is really, really, really interesting.
Fantastic. So if it's okay, the same to your good self, and thank you for holding on. So I want to give a bit of an understanding as to your background for everyone on the podcast. So I love your statement. The Food Cons mission is to cooperate with individuals, startups and companies sharing these values. You are at full disposal to assist agri-food tech startups and companies in raising funds and communication to help them impose at global level. To carry on your mission, you can rely on an intimate passion for food, a deep commitment on innovation, and a great international exposure besides writing networking skills. And you strive to shape a better world through technology, innovation, and sustainability in the ag food sector. And you'd love, we can see this, love to interact with individuals, startups, and SMEs sharing the same values. You're a great communicator, writer, networker, and you can rely on a strong entrepreneurial mindset as an intimate passion for innovation. And you've got a deep commitment to sustainability and a wide background in sales and supply chain with great international exposure, Switzerland, Europe, India, China, as a challenging experience as a private chef. And in 2017, you came back to Europe after a fantastic experience. And I'm going to murder this. Aruba. How are you pronouncing that? Did I get it right?
Aruba. Yeah. Yeah. Aruba.
To build a bright future in food and pharma industry for you and your family. In 2015, after more than 10 years spent in sales and supply chain, both in freight forwarding and pharma, you decided to drop everything, leave your comfort zone, changing completely your life to follow your passion for food. So you moved to Aruba to manage with your best friend your own business in food and beverage and event planning. Well, fantastic. I meet too many men who are so depressed at their job, at their life, and I say to them, go and do your own thing, take the leap. It might feel a little bit uncomfortable, but if you've planned it out, it will work. It always works out. And unfortunately, 9 out of 10 don't, because they need the comfort blanket of the monthly paycheck, and they're trapped, that they're in a prison. Then we have people like you who've had the kahunas to go out and actually do something and do something, don't swear again, very, very, very well. So you yourself, we've had a lot of comments from the other two experts, ladies, saying that there's this unfair bias against women, especially on the funding in the respect of agri-food and tech. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yes, absolutely, Max. But I would like to share one important thing, two important things. In the last Forward Food in Food Tech 500 report, in which there are ranked the 500 best agri-food tech startups in the world, and there is that 45% of agri-food startups are founded by women, LGBT, or minority. It means that there is a huge rise in companies led and managed by women. But I would like to point two interesting topics arised in the room on Clubhouse. One, why there is gender diversity? Why there is not gender equality in the food? Because sometimes the college, though the women choose some studies, some college, they're not choosing female-oriented matters. For example, engineering is something pretty masculine. Sometimes the highest position, the C-level position, are close to women due to a wrong, probably working a studies path. And then, by the other side, another important thing that arises that there are still more women and girls launching their own startups for a kind of emancipation. You know, they would like to, they are tired to be considered sometimes as B employees. So they I drop everything, something that I did probably, and I launch my own startup. I want to manage my own business as a kind of emancipation. So we could definitely say like that. And that's why so many women are founding and launching own startups. Is one of the reasons, not the only one, but is one interesting point in my opinion.
And do you think that the answer to this bias against women in the investment circles is the answer to actually have an investment business that is run just by women, for women? Does such a thing exist?
Yes, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. And you know, and sometimes you have business founded exclusively by women, they exist. And of course, sometimes what's wrong in this woman only leader and managed by only by women is sometimes that they love together. They do some kind of closed meetings only by women, but just together, just to talk.
Yeah.
And it could be interesting, in fact, even doing some woman club, but they have to have one main reason. For example, networking. You know, sometimes women, it's hard to do networking. It's hard to probably to reach a bank director, for example, yeah. a top level. Sometimes it's interesting for women to gather in themselves. If it's, for example, to facilitate the networking with high leverage position. But anyway, Max, there are so many startup founded and managed and led by only exclusively, for example, by four women, as you told. And even sometimes, I don't know if someone before me told, sometimes when you apply for fundraising, there is a specific question. Do you have a woman in the founding team? Or probably four women in the founding team. Maybe it's better sometimes. You know, and this one, absolutely. At this one, this must be the way. I hope that this is not the exception, but it becomes a rule in the next future.
Well said, and I think it is hopefully going that way. So if we've got a lady or a team of ladies watching into this broadcast, and they know they've got the ability, they've got the courage to go out on their own, and they want to be in agri-food and tech, give us the secrets. What area of agri-food and tech would you advise that they investigate for them to go into business in? What would be your advice to them, please?
But Max, beyond any doubt, alternative proteins. In alternative proteins, I can bring some interesting example in USA, in Singapore, in Europe, and of companies founded and managed only by women. Don't tell me why. Probably it can be connected to what I told before. Probably the studies they did is biotechnology, it's food engineering. Probably they are some matters that women always loved. But beyond any doubt, I would say alternative proteins, one, because it's full of women-founded companies. Yeah. And anyway, it's because it's one of the most interesting topics and trend in the agri-food tech space.
Yeah. And just go back to what Linda said, with the Global Women Fresh involvement with the ITC and She Trades, and we've been very privileged to be involved with some of the conversations. We've hosted some of the broadcasts out of the likes of Africa. What we're fascinated about, if it's okay to mention it, on a sales and marketing perspective, there was, Linda will remember her name. There's an amazing lady, as an example, Yvonne, in Kenya, and they produce avocado oil from waste avocado. So this waste avocado would just go into bin or landfill within East Africa, but they're making the most amazing avocado oil from it. And they employ upwards of 400 ladies within their business, and they're all financially secure because of this. And they don't overly sell the fact that they're a women-run business to their customers in the UK and Europe. And me, with my marketing head on, I think that's perhaps wrong. What would your advice be on a marketing perspective? Should ladies who are coming into agri-food and tech, should they be shouting and waving in a really positive manner that they're a woman-formed business and that they've employed a high percentage of women in their business? Do you think that's a good marketing technique for getting funding and also for getting future sales? What do you think?
Max, I would say no, because, it's not... I don't think that self-specified, we are women. It could be something of... less self-esteem. I don't know. It sounds something like, 68 feminists, you know what I mean? Yep. And probably, I don't think that underlined, we are women, we are top, it's a good thing. Because, I repeat, Max, interesting question, because it surged even in other event. Women don't like this, because, yep. I repeat, it must be something... auto ghetto. So it means we are women, but no, you don't have to specify. You sell a product. Yep. Then if you're a woman, it's secondary.
And Antonio, I trapped you. I trapped you with a question because I asked this question, like the naive fool I am, and they said, no, Max, we will not do that. They will not buy our product because we are women. They will buy our product because we're authentic, because we're an authentic business. And I thought, whoa, okay, I have been put back in my box. I will not ask that question of them again, but I've asked you of it. And it was fascinating to hear your answer. Antonio, if it's okay, we're just going to bring everyone back in now. So if everyone could come in for our Q&A. Antonio, just as everyone's coming in, if I could give you a magic wand to create the success and gain parity within agri-food and tech and this diversity and inclusion question for women, what would be the answer? So I've given you the magic wand to create parity for agri-food and tech. What would you do with my magic wand? Antonio, did you hear my question? I've got everyone else back in.
No, okay. Maybe, Max, if I can skip now, I think about it and I revert.
No problem. I'm going to go to Linda. Linda, if I could give you my magic wand to create this parity within agri-food and tech, what would you do, please?
This is a very interesting question. I hope that human beings will be able to create alternative food that will be also capable to save the planet, you know, because the population in the world will increase and increase and decrease in the future. So more people will need to be fed, but at the same time, the land and the spaces are limited. So, I mean, people are increasing, but not the world where we are living. So we need to find a way to keep the balance between the people increasing, the number of people increasing, and the type of food that we are going to eat, that we are going to need. So vertical farming, you know, alternative protein, as Antonio said. So these are the future, the type of targets where we should go after. This is my opinion.
Linda, what's that? Vani, it's fascinating what you were saying about the new change of administration in America and in the UK. Our UK Prime Minister, he was ill on the back of COVID, in his own words, because he was chubby, because he was fat, and he was going to do everything he can do within the UK to make sure that we're a fit and healthy nation. And we've got COP26 coming up in the UK at the end of the year. So it feels like, well, it was a bit like our initial conversation, Vani, that everything's coming towards us. You've got a new administration. Everyone's talking in a more positive manner. So do you think that we are pointing in the right direction?
Yeah, I think, you know, and you bring up health, that's certainly an important one as well. And I think we're certainly looking at how can we have better healthcare, more healthy practices, how can we eat better? And I think that's going to be continued to be highlighted on, you know, how do we take care of ourselves and eat healthy? So I think it definitely, I think there's a lot of optimism right now just with the vaccine and with the new administration and taking care of some of the climate issues that we've had. So yeah, I'm really optimistic.
Great, so we can ride that wave. And Beatrice, do you think the same? Well, let me ask you the question. If I gave you my magic wand to create the success for you and your business and your colleagues, what would you do with it, please?
We would like the future food to be accessible, of good food, because we have managed to make healthy and sustainable food, but not at scale yet. So we need to make it scalable to reach people from around the world. And I wouldn't only look into alternative foods. We really love what our grandmas used to cook. So we really have to find ways into keep on eating and cooking what we really love, but without damaging the planet and without damaging our health. So also looking into ancient practices, resilient agriculture, regenerative agriculture, and so on. For us, that's super important. Learning about the past and creating the future and supporting the people who do it best, regardless of the gender.
Fantastic. And Antonio, back to you. If I could give you my magic wand, how would you create success on this diversity question?
Max, I would like to confirm what Beatrice just told. Of course, what we have to do first, stop the food waste, for example, because just considering the food production could be enough to feed the famous 10 billion person in 2050, but we have to waste less. Yeah. And in this, a great contribution can be given by women. As I told, there is a huge growth of agri-food tech startups founded by women, especially, for example, in the food waste space, in the alternative protein space. Yeah. So what we have to do with the assistance of course, with the great contribution of startup funded by women, first of all, reduce the food waste, and we are on the correct way, and create we create food with less wasting of resource, with less use of resource, not exploiting so much the resources. Alternative hypothesis is one example for another, but for example, you mentioned before, behind the curtain, the agri-tech, the precision farming, for example, that is something related even to Linda's job. So producing fruit, producing veggies with less usage of water. Yep. And in this space, Max, I have to tell that there is not so much diversity, because as I told, there are a business that requires a huge engineering background, and sometimes women prefer to study anything else, but yeah, it could be a challenge. So women, for example, starting study something pretty male oriented, engineering, for example, and we could see even in the agri-tech space more and more startups and business funded by women. But there is, they probably will need 2-3 generations to understand it. Those are, even women has to understand that they can even study something that they be considered always so masculine, I would say.
Yeah, and Antonio, well done. And it's a very good point that you make about food waste. In the UK alone, we throw away 1.2 million bananas a day. 1.2 million bananas. And if you spread that across the whole fresh produce sector, it is maddening. I'm going to say a dirty word, money. And I'm just going to give you an example as to why I want to bring that up. There was a conference I was involved in about 4 years ago, and the main speaker was the VP, the vice president for PepsiCo for Europe. And in that conference, he was asked a question by a very well-known individual that Linda knows, Chris White of Fruitnet International. And Chris asked this VP of PepsiCo, when are you going to invest in bananas? Just as an example, because PepsiCo is invested in high-end fatty sugary foods, worst case. And his retort, this VP from PepsiCo, straight off the bats, as we English say, was when he was asked, why don't you invest in bananas? When you show me how to make money in bananas, we'll invest in bananas. And have we got a problem here in the respect of fresh food? Fresh produce, as we know, is brilliant, but companies that may want to invest in this or may want to invest in agri-food and tech startups, when they look at the margin returns, don't want to get involved with it because the money isn't there. They'd rather get involved with sugary drinks, power drinks, food that is sugar laden, that's going to actually give them and the shareholders more return. What is the answer to this? How can we get those companies or those investors to direct more towards fresh produce or plant-based companies that are going to do good? Vianney, what do you think? What's the answer to that one?
Wow. I think that's a real challenge. And I think part of it is consumer preference. As long as consumers are wanting to buy those types of food and that's what they're eating and that's what they're grabbing, you know, it's going to be hard to make the argument that those companies shouldn't be making those products. So I think, you know, an answer that many people contemplate is like, well, can we do something about this from a regulatory point of view? Yeah, you know, can we make it not so profitable for them to sell food that when eaten in excess can make people sick? And so I think there is, you know, some amount of taxation that could happen to if you look at, you know, how much is some of the health problems, how much is that costing? And so you kind of layer that on top of, okay, you know, let's do some real full cost accounting here, and let's layer some of these healthcare costs on top of, you know, them selling that. So I think that's one possible way, you know, kind of doing some taxation. Another is, I was talking to a guy in Israel this morning that is breeding these very small melons, like individual melons that you can eat the rind. And so, you know, let's continue to make produce more convenient, you know, so that children want to eat them, and so that it, you know, and let's continue to do breeding so that, you know, apples don't brown, and, you know, we can do things that make things more convenient, that have things last longer. Yeah. So I think there's some things we can do in that area as well.
Well done. Thank you. But Beatrice, would that help you and your business and your colleagues if we taxed fast food, sugary food, so that we're drawing the consumer more towards plant-based and towards more fresh produce? What do you think?
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, we are backed by food industries that are aware about the fact that they need to change, and they are open to hearing what are the real challenges they are creating in the world. And they are open to collaborating with people that are already doing things in a better way, right? So at least we have the intention of those food companies wanting to do different. And the reason is linked to what Voni said. The reason is consumers are starting to demand a different types of products. So they are more open to looking into new business models. So one interesting example of a company, a startup that generated a new demand that is good for the planet is called Planet Forward. The founder is a lady called Julia Collins, super interesting. And what she is doing is creating snacks out of regenerative agriculture ingredients, right? So we are saying that regenerative agriculture is necessary for the planet. But if there's no demand, what's the incentive for farmers to start growing those types of crops? So if we as an industry create a demand for a certain product, farmers are going to be more incentivized to start growing that type of product. And for example, Julia Collins, she has achieved an investment of $5 billion. So there is opportunity and there is market for products that are good for the planet and good for health.
Fantastic. And if we look at the likes of the oil companies are now heavily investing in green energy, and the likes of Unilever, the likes of Nestle that we're seeing within Europe are very keen to get involved in this this new world of plant-based, and also just starting to dabble within fresh produce. Linda, you're a veteran within fresh produce. Do you think this is going to be the solution to get those bigger companies to come to us, or have we got to tax them out of existence and so people will buy fresh produce instead?
No, you know, Max, I mean, nowadays, especially now after the COVID, after the pandemic, people and consumers are more and more open and willing, and they also desire to eat in a more healthy and sustainable way. So absolutely, for sure, fresh produce and the agri-tech food, they are all part of a new future that is emerging, because the consumers' choices are changing, because we want to eat healthy and sustainable, saving the planet. So absolutely, I think that this is the future, and what Beatrice and Voni and Antonio said is totally correct. So companies, they need to invest in this path, because yeah, these would be the future, more and more.
Yeah, come on in, investors.
Absolutely.
Come and join us, and especially to support women in this whole area of agri-food and tech. So we're just coming up to the witching hour, I promise everyone that we would stop on the hour. So just to positively wrap up, what would everyone like to see in the way of the solution of creating more diversity and inclusion within agri-food and tech? What do we all want to see? Beatrice, you start us off, please. What's your closing positive statement, please? Beatrice, just put on your ears, please. We can't. Beatrice, could you turn on your audio? That's it.
She's got there. Got it. Sorry.
We've all done that.
So I would like to see investors, companies, and people to see others just as people, regardless of the gender. We are on a very complicated mission. We have severe challenges we have to face as humanity. So we need everyone on board, not just the 50% of humanity. So just look at the solutions, regardless the gender.
Well done. Well said, Beatrice. Antonio, what's your answer to that? How can we create this success, please? And Antonio, we just lost your sound. It's gone all squeaky. So just as you saw that.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. What is your answer, please?
Sorry, there is one interesting question. How can we push companies in embrace gender equality? I would like to bring an example. I recently wrote an article about the first fast food chains in the world. I don't want to make a commercial. But for example, they launched from this year, besides, of course, to promise a certain number of hiring among women and minority. But what they did, they introduced one remuneration for C-level based on their commitment on gender equality. So not just a bonus based on sales, but even bonus correlated to the commitment the C-level will show on gender and minority equality. In my opinion, this could be a great example. This is something great that other companies should follow. Probably we will take some years, but I agree that there could be one interesting starting point to more gender equality in the future.
Antonio, well done. Bonnie, what's your answer, please?
So I love what Beatrice said about, let's stop saying women entrepreneurs or women this or women that. It's just like people doing great things.
Yep.
Within that and kind of underneath that, I really want to see women continuing to support each other and men continuing to support women in more and more leadership roles, both as startups and also within corporations, so that we can get more women leaders because they've learned through the ranks and get to a point of really being leaders and having the huge amount of impact that we can have. So around supporting each other, both men and women, supporting women to continue to prosper and thrive.
Fantastic. Linda, what a fantastic mix of experts that you garnered for us. Linda, just to wrap up, really enjoyed this. I've learned so much from the broadcast, from the conversation. Just before we leave, can you just give us another big promotion for Global Women Fresh and the awards? Why companies should sponsor yourself, and why people should enter the awards, please?
Yes, first of all, let me very quickly say thank you to all our speakers, because I was impressed with the concepts and the words and the capabilities of our speakers. So thank you very much for you for being here. And yes, Global Women Fresh is committed to close the gender gap, not in 135 years, but now. So definitely companies need to help us in order to have a better world, a more balance between men and women, but especially to push the good people with capabilities. So regardless of the gender, this is the most important thing that companies need to understand. Each company, each society needs to have diversity and inclusion in their DNA. So they just have to look at themselves in the mirror very sincerely and say, am I doing all I can in order to create a real diversity and inclusion ambient in my company? This is what we should do. So Global Women Fresh is waiting for you.
Fantastic. And everyone, if you're not a member of Global Women Fresh, join now. And don't just join for yourself. Please ask 5 or 10 of your colleagues to come and join them as well. We want to get this number way over 5,000, way over 10,000 members, don't we, Linda?
Yes, absolutely. So John, spread the word, be part of the conversation, be part of the future. We have a lot of examples in the world where women at the top of society or companies, performances are improving. So, I mean, having more women at the top of companies and societies will bring benefits for everybody in the world and in a single company.
Fantastic. Everyone, thank you very much for participating in this broadcast about diversity and inclusion. I think streaming from Britain to Italy, to Spain, to California, it is such a small world, and there's so so many positives going to come from this whole sector that we need individuals like our four experts on today. So follow them on LinkedIn, get involved with them, get involved with the conversation, and get involved with agri-food and tech. Everyone, thank you very much. Keep safe, and we'll see you on the next broadcast with Global Women Fresh. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you, Max.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.